working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash.
This is Night Talk Radio on the Terrorcat Radio Network. Your host, Colin Niner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and monsieur, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to the 8th season opener. It is October the 30th, 2013, and I gotta tell ya, it's great to be back. Running shotgun with me tonight is
the one and only Humac.
Hugh shall be a regular co-host, and we welcome him to the show. We'll be chatting with you in just a little while. For those who have previously tuned in, phone lines shall be open shortly. And for those who are experiencing Night Talk Radio for the first time,
347-324-3287.
And of course, let's not forget the blog, Night Talk Radio, on the blogspot.ca system. All links are on our Blog Talk Radio page. But tonight, the eve of Devil's Night, 2 days before All Saints Day, what exactly is evil? How does it manifest? Why are there spirits? How can souls get trapped between two worlds? Those answers and more with our special guest tonight, Paul Dale Roberts, our paranormal sleuth, when we return.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerrorChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Your host, Colin Knight.
Oh, what a spooky time of the year to be online. October the 30th, 2013. Welcome to the season opener of Night Talk Radio. 75 years ago tonight, something very, very special happened. Well, actually, it wasn't so special. More of a panic around North America, all because of a simple radio play. Yep, War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells brought Orson Welles instant fame.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. Ladies and gentlemen, the director of the Mercury Theater and star of these broadcasts, Orson Welles.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man, yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures with swarm and multiply in a drop of
Now, the interesting thing about this play adaptation for radio is that the story was written in 1898 and first performed on radio in 1938 by Orson Welles. And, of course, panic set in around North America because the Martians had landed. 75 years ago tonight, almost a prestigious time in internet radio and radio in general. And we should always give thanks to those pioneers that started the ball rolling. So tonight is the season premiere. We have with us tonight Paul Dale Roberts, HPI International out of California. And also tonight we have with us a new co-host. His name is Hugh Mack. And Hugh Mack, welcome to the Night Talk, sir.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Yeah, we've been bantering this around for a few months, Hugh, and we are here live in Technicolor and all the other good stuff. So look forward to your interaction. I'm going to keep you online here. And when we come back, we'll take a quick break just so everybody can kind of get lined up as to where they're going to be and what they're going to do. But when we come back, we'll talk to Paul Dale Roberts.
The information contained in this broadcast is for entertainment value only and should not be used to form life choices or decisions. All information presented are the opinions and findings of the speaker and not necessarily that of the Terror Chat Network or its affiliates. We are merely the purveyors of paranormal proposals. Cape Lento. In the dead of night, when all is dark, and all your daytime worries engulf you. In the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greater world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce you tonight to Mr. Paul Dale Robert, our HPI paranormal sleuth. Good evening, Paul. Welcome back to Night Talk.
Hey, how's it going, Colin? I'm so glad to be back on the show again.
Well, I tell you, we have a great deal of fun with you, Paul, whenever you are here. We do appreciate you coming in for the season premiere. You just had the vampire ball. Did you manage to get over that hangover yet?
Oh, I was too busy interviewing the vampires. And what's kind of funny about the 2013 Shannon McCabe's vampire ball is that there's a lot of people who impersonate the vampire. And the theme was Dark Shadow. But there were actual people who actually believe that they're vampires who actually attend that ball.
Yeah, right. Seriously?
Seriously, yes. One gentleman who didn't want to be on camera was telling me that he actually has three friends in which he actually takes a, let's say, a small teaspoon of blood from them and drinks it.
That's a little too freaky for my liking. But now, this vampire ball, this has been going on for a number of years, right?
Right. It's their fifth annual vampire's ball.
And this is our friend Shannon McCabe.
Shannon McCabe, yes.
Yeah.
And she did a great job. There was a lot of people there. It was a lot of fun. I had cotton mouth by the time I was done because I was interviewing everybody. But and I had the assistance of a reptilian hybrid named Marissa Rinna, and she actually assisted me. And her story is, I interviewed her. Her story is that she is an actual reptilian hybrid. So it was kind of fun bringing her along and allowing her, a reptilian hybrid, to interview vampires.
So you were hanging with a reptilian hybrid.
Yes, I was hanging with a reptilian hybrid, and along with my videographers, Alessio, Big Al Rosatano, and Wendy Maxim. Yeah, so it was a fun night. It was a very strange night, but fun.
And hanging with these type of people doesn't make you nervous? I mean, don't you wonder whether they're just going to, like, you know, slap you with their tail or turn you into some kind of funky creature?
You know, if I feel like I'm actually walking into a surreal reality, similar to the X-Files, where Mulder and Scully actually would come in contact with these very, very strange beings that live on our Earth and who make all types of claims. So it's I never know what to expect, who I'm going to meet, or anything. So it's really, really an unusual world that I live
in. Well, I'll say it is, boy. I'll tell you, that sounds a little freaky for me, Paul, but you've always lived on the edge out there in California. I mean, you guys have some pretty interesting trait compared to the rest of the nation. Let me ask you this. How's business been? And by that I mean, are you busier this year than you were last year?
You know, being that I am also a paranormal journalist and I'm now working on my fifth book, my phone number's in all of my articles, so I get contacted constantly. We cover all of Northern California, so we almost have investigations almost every weekend. And since you publish my stories, you see that I do have a lot of investigations and a lot of interviews.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I am constantly busy. And also, too, we do international. I recently came back from Guatemala. So, I stay very busy, but I totally enjoy it. In fact, we're doing this Saturday a three-story home in Hercules, California, which supposedly is demonic. It's a demonic entity that's living in the house. Yes. And the demon, his face actually appears on the clothing of the occupant. And he claims that his family members has actually seen the face appear on the clothing. Let's say there's a bathrobe, it'll ruffle up into and form a face on it. And he's been bitten, he's been scratched, objects are moved around the house, everything else. It's a three-story house, so there's a lot to explore.
Right. I'm going to open up Hugh Mack's microphone, just in case he wants to chirp in here. I don't want to kind of hold him to any time. So, Hugh, your microphone is open. If you do have a question, just jump in and ask Paul. One thing I did want to know, Paul, is you mentioned that the clothing and what have you, that they are manipulating matter, if you will. You know, things are moving. Is this an increase in activity that you are seeing lately, or has this always been part of the paranormal investigation?
I believe it's not an increase because I'm constantly busy almost every weekend, but I just think it's because of the fact that I do have my telephone number. I'm so people can reach me easily,
right.
And so I get the most of the phone calls. We basically dominate Northern California because I talk to other ghost hunting groups and they go, well, we don't have any investigations. Well, it's because you're not out there. You're not advertising. And it always pays to advertise. And if anyone's a good advertiser, that would be me.
That's exactly what it's about with anything on the internet, whether you're selling widgets or paranormal. You have to constantly be hammering away and being relevant, if you will. You know?
Oh, yeah. You have to have a strong passion. And one thing is, you know, I am a journalist, and I now work for Costa Rica Times. I do a weekly column for them, and I do a monthly column for a phenomenal magazine in England. And if you're going to write an article, you have to have a passion for it. If you don't have a passion for it, it just dissolves. And there's so many people say, Paul, I'm going to do what you're doing. I'm going to write articles. I'm going to get myself out there. I'm going to get my group out there. But then they get bored with it. And it's like, if you get bored with it, there's no advertising. There's no one knows what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. But also at the same time, I know with Night Talk, we took this summer off basically because there was no zing, there was no zang to it anymore. You know, there was... It was becoming very mundane and the information was regurgitating. And that makes it difficult because, especially in your work as an investigator, to get halfway into an investigation to realize that this investigation has happened before, you know, in its own terms, right? So it gets very difficult. So we took the summer off. off to take a breather so we could come at it nice and hot and heavy for the fall and winter of this year. And luckily enough, I got Hugh Mack with me. He's going to be running shotgun. So, you know, if I can't make the show, he'll make the show, and we'll be able to run fairly consistent from here on. But going back to the paranormal activity that you've experienced over the last 6 months, Paul, would you say that it is darker activity, or is it still the necessity to connect with our world, or is there some more negative forces to it?
Well, there's a lot of people. The majority of the calls that I get on the paranormal hotline are from people who play around Ouija boards and they get a darker force in their life, and I get a lot of those type of calls. So the Ouija boards are something that you shouldn't play around with. So I do get a heavy increase in demonic activity. I would say out of 10 investigations, perhaps 6 of them are going to be demonic and the rest are going to be ghosts.
So the majority of them are going more to the dark side now?
Yeah, I would say that.
Would you say that was the same way 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or has it increased?
Well, okay, when I first started as officially as paranormal investigator, most of our cases were ghosts. So now, and also too, I have a very high success rate with my Catholic house blessings and my Baptist baptisms. So the word gets around, they say, hey, you know, if you have an attachment, give Paul a call. And Paul's the demon warrior. You know, that's what my nickname is. And so I do get the majority of the demonic calls because I do talk to other ghost hunting groups and they don't get that many demonic cases. And all the demonic cases seem to fall upon me because I am the demon warrior.
Now, do you get any pushback from the church for that?
And no, absolutely not. The Catholic Church will not endorse me because I do a Catholic house blessing and then I do a Baptist full submersion baptism.
Right. But they leave you alone. They don't attempt to prevent you from using Catholicism to exorcise demons, because they've now basically condemned exorcising, right?
Oh yeah, right. And I don't do any kind of exorcism. And a lot of people don't realize it, but a full submersion baptism is actually a basic form of exorcism. And if you have an attachment and you do a full submersion baptism, the attachment will leave. So, and I've seen it happen because I'm the one doing it. Because of that, the Catholic Church won't endorse me because I do a different kind of baptism. With Catholics, they sprinkle water on you. That won't work. If you have an attachment, it's not going to work.
Right. Now, these demons, we'll get to those in just a few minutes, but when you're dealing with the spirits, before you go into the investigation or on the investigation, do you say a prayer, or do you use a native smudging, or is there anything that you do ritualistically before you start an investigation?
You're going to love this. Well, in a lot of cases, occupants, I'll say, hey, I could do a Catholic house blessing. Do you want that? No, because I'm not Catholic. Okay, what are you? I'm Wiccan. Oh, good, because I have Wiccan cleansers. I have 43 investigators in the group. I have 12 cleansers. I have a Greek Orthodox cleanser. I have Apache cleanser. I have 2 Choctaw Indian cleansers. I even have a voodoo cleanser. And she's a actual Department of Homeland Security federal agent. And yeah, she is.
Why am I not surprised?
She carries her gun in her purse. And her mother was a Haitian voodoo queen. So that's how she learned all about voodoo.
Yeah.
And
get me started on Homeland Security and New World Order, because we'll be here for days. So, but suffice it to say that Homeland Security knows that there's Wiccans in their midst is a pretty good thing, I think.
Fairly sensible. She's very knowledgeable about voodoo, and so she only goes on special cases in which we need her for a voodoo cleansing. So. Yeah. And then we have Greek Orthodox cleanser. We have a South Pacific Island cleanser. We have a, Christian cleanser. We have cleanser, Wiccan cleansers, metaphysical cleansers. So we have every kind of cleanser to accommodate people.
You are the Uncle Tom Cobbley and all. You were it. Mm-hmm. You are the main package, my friend, because you understand the sensitivities of the spirit.
Right, and we're a one stop paranormal group. So if they're looking for cleansers, a type of cleansers, I have them. So if they say, "I'm sorry, I'm Buddha," well, good. I have a Buddha cleanser.
Interesting. I think, we're getting a couple of messages down in the flash chat, down in the virtual studio. A gentleman by the name of Blair Jeff, the Blair Jeff Show. Pretty impressed to hear you talking about demonic activity.
Blair Jett. I know Blair Jett. Yeah.
So he's quite happy about that. So it's, message passed on. Tell you what we'll do, Paul. We're going to take a quick break here, and everybody regather, pour them, drink them, smoke them if you got them. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, "Who put that there? God put it there."
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mavis, with John Hope in the Night.
According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust, and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life began.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and we remind our listeners of the archived shows, 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, Night Talk Radio, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, send your email to terrorchat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
I've got a ticket to the moon and a million questions for our guest tonight, Paul Dale Roberts, HPI International, the paranormal sleuth of the West Coast. So, Paul, when you're doing your investigations, do you find a commonality? Are people looking to communicate? Do they realize they are where they are, and do they know what's happened to them?
Well, it does seem like they do want to convey a message, most of them, let's say a ghost. And some of the psychics that I have are really, really outstanding. John Rubsum, Lisa Steele, they're my top psychics. And what's amazing is they'll come up with some information from the entity and relate it to the occupant. And it's probably, let's say, a deceased grandmother or deceased uncle or whatever. And they'll relate some kind of message to the occupant where the occupant is just in tears because the message is so correct. And I have a remote viewer from Ohio, Athea Paris. And this woman is just incredible. I don't know how she does it, but she'll look at a picture of the front of the house and tell you what the interior is. I mean, and she's over in Ohio. I remember in this one house, she goes, "Okay, there's a mirror to your right." She goes, "The entities are using that as a portal. It's a large mirror against the wall." And she knew it. I mean, wow.
So she's using... She's teleporting, or is she just receiving images?
She's an astral projector, so she can actually teleport, and she also do remote views.
She's doing remote viewing.
Yeah.
And now, remote viewing was huge. Sorry, Paul. Remote viewing was huge in the late 70s, early 80s. I remember there was a lot of lockdowns on bases around Europe when the Americans were doing a lot of testing for remote viewing. And apparently they had quite a lot of success. The Russians, from all understanding, is they continued the experiment of remote viewing. And supposedly now, whether it happened or not, supposedly the West decided to abandon it because they weren't receiving enough positive verifications.
Right. So, the CIA was involved with it.
Yeah.
Military intelligence was involved with it. I was in military intelligence, and a couple military intelligence personnel that I knew claimed that they knew a person who was involved with remote viewing in military intelligence. And I never encountered any remote viewers in military intelligence, but I did hear of it.
Yeah, and I've come across it a number of times in my lifetime, and I must say that I think to certain people it is a gift that they do have, much like Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, and you know, our good friend John, and the prophecy thinking of John Hogue. I mean, is there is no better. I mean, the man hits it out of the ballpark every time. You know, every time he gives a message, it's solid. You know, so I believe everybody has a gift. I'm not sure if everybody is psychic or has those abilities. Now, when you meet these entities, the spirits and what have you, they continue to have a difficult time communicating. From everybody that I have listened to, it seems like there is a membrane, if you will, between the two worlds, and it's more like a pantomime trying to give you the information. Is that how it happens in the investigation, Paul? You pick up EMPs and all kinds of stuff like that to make the case?
Right. The EVPs are total foundation for evidence. I mean, sometimes the entities can only say a few words is because energy is their food. And they'll pick up that energy from you. As a human being, they'll pick up on your energy. They'll take energy from your equipment. That's why batteries drain out. So that way they can communicate. And that's why they're only sometimes saying a few words, because that's all they can get out to you. And there was a case over in Lake Tahoe, though, which was totally amazing. Two of my investigators, Trey Lindstrom and Wendy Maxim, they were two females outside of the house, and we're in Lake Tahoe. We just got done doing a Bigfoot hunt out there, and there's no people out there. We're at a cabin. It was like we called that case the cabin in the woods. There was no people out there, and there was only a few men, but they were inside the cabin, not outside, and they got full-on sentences in which the entity was talking to Trey. And he was saying, Trey, you are a very pretty woman. Trey, I'm watching you. Trey, I want to know you. I mean, he was saying full-on sentences. It was just totally amazing. So,
Is that, now you mentioned that they need energy to be able to transmit that. They're using maybe 10 times, 500 times, 1,000 times more energy than we would to communicate, and this drains them very quickly. Is that what I'm getting?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
It drains them. It almost weakens their signal very quickly.
Yeah, usually on our third round, they're pretty well drained of energy, and that's usually on our third round we're not getting any kind of EVPs or anything because the energy is so drained.
Yeah, how long does it take them to re-energize, if you will? Are we in our time frame? How long do you think it's taking for them to be able to communicate a second time?
Yeah, Well, after, let's say, we do a full-on investigation, we do 3 45-minute investigative sessions. By the time we get to the third round, we're not picking up anything because their energy is pretty well drained. But if you wait around maybe about 3 hours, it starts, like, picking up again.
Gotcha. So about a four-hour turnaround, you could actually qualify.
They're like charging their batteries, yeah.
Right.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. You have at her.
Yeah, we're just, hi, Paul, this is Hugh.
How's it going, Hugh?
Very good. It's good to talk to you. Talking about the energies there that these things seem to feed off of. I know some people that have had some experiences with apparently malevolent attachments, and part of the consistency that seems to happen there is that there's a lot of bad energy, bad emotions going around in the house or in the area. These malevolent attachments don't seem to run out of energy very fast. Do they find more energy in the bad emotions and that sort of thing? Is it worth feeding them more by a high emotional level?
Good question.
Yes, high. Okay, well, fear is, oh my gosh, that's like the energy that they totally enjoy. And most ghost hunters don't have any fear. And so when you have no fear, there's nothing really to feed off of. But when you have fear, and you're projecting fear out, it seems like they really feed off of that, and that's energy that where they're able to move objects. What I need is some ghost hunters who are scared of everything, so that way I can get some action going on.
Paul, you and I have had this discussion, and you know, because you've known me long enough, that I am doing this show with the lights on. Because you scared the Jesus out of me most times. So, just as long as you realize that, you ain't getting me.
I was thinking about turning mine off.
Yeah, I'm scared of my own darn shadow. So,
It's so funny, Colin. We had one of my investigators is an Alameda sheriff. She's a cop. Okay.
Right.
Very strong personality, everything, right? She's no longer a ghost hunter. And we did a demonic case, and we were getting some very strong Class A EVPs. And the entity started attacking her. And it was a male voice. She was with a female off in the fields by herself. There was no men around her, but it's a strong man's voice. And was telling her to commit suicide. And on one of the EVPs, he says, "Do it now." And she just totally, totally freaked out. The fear factor was at an all-time high. And
fight or flight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It basically attached itself to her. And I had to give her a full submersion baptism and along with her family. And now she's okay, but she no longer wants to be a ghost hunter. Hey, Colin, I have somebody who wants to say hi to you. She's a paranormal investigator. She was working on my cable, and she's just going to say hi real quick.
By all means.
Hi, Colin.
Hello, and I'd like to know how come Paul gets all the good-looking ones.
How do you know what I look like?
Well, because you're with Paul. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh.
He is a disco king. You do know that, right? Okay, as long as you're aware of that. Because, he'll throw that 70s music on before you know it. I'm glad you're doing well.
Oh, he hasn't done it yet. Great. Thank you.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Okay.
As a paranormal investigator? Good girl.
Oh, yes. Well,
now that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes, it's very interesting.
You take care of yourself now.
Okay, you too.
Yeah.
That's my South Pacific Island cleanser. She was over here working on my cable box.
On the cable box. You don't happen to have the greatest disco hits of the 70s out handy, do you?
No, I don't, no.
I'm never going to let you get that, Paul. You know, I keep looking for some kind of a trophy I can send you regarding that. Yeah.
Oh, I just want to mention one more thing too. Like in our ghost investigations, the ghosts seem like they're energy does drain out, but when you have something demonic, and it's definitely demonic, their energy seems like it continues because they're out to hurt you, harm you, to mess with your head and everything else.
So by cultivating that fear factor, that absolute insane panic, that is their food of choice. And the longer they can sustain it, the longer they can enjoy the feast of their, you know, their pleasure, right? So, you know, they're not going to kill you, but they're going to make your life unbearably miserable because they feed from the misery. Am I getting that right, Paul?
Oh, sure. And I think a lot of times, too, where you have cases where people are murdered or cases of suicide, it could have originated from something on the demonic side. And we just don't realize that. We just think of that as just a normal homicide or a normal suicide, but maybe it did originate with something that's demonic.
So now that we've brought you into the dark world of demonic and negative spirit and the likes, can you think of one? I'll give you a few minutes. We'll do a quick station ID here right away, but I'll give you a few minutes to think about this question. Can you think of a recent paranormal investigation that you were on that made your heart flutter and kind of made you second guess whether you should be there or not?
That would actually be simple. Yeah.
Okay, you think about that one, and we'll be right back in a few minutes. Minute and 10 seconds, and we'll get to that.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
A monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mavis, with John Hogue in the Night. According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life began.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and we remind our listeners of the archived shows, 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, nighttalkradio.com. 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, send your email to terrorchat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we do have Dr. Ian O'Neill coming up in the next couple of months. We're going to be talking about the moon and the physics of space and getting into some of that deep stuff. But I have with us tonight Paul Dale Roberts, our HPI paranormal investigator sleuth. And you're about to scare the pants off us, Paul. What was your scariest, for the lack of a better word, scariest investigation in the last few months that really kind of made you think, you know, am I doing the right thing?
Right. And I've been on like 800 investigations, but the one that stays in my head is one that I think I've actually talked about on this radio show. It's about the older woman and her goddaughter. Do you recall that one?
I do, yes. I very vaguely. That was one of our first shows, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, one of our first shows, yeah. Did you want me to tell you that story again?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure the listeners are going to be just mortified by what happens.
I was driving through Stockton, and Stockton is close to Lockford. And I get a phone call on the paranormal hotline, and it was an older woman, and she says, Paul, I have a demonic entity in my house. I'm scared to death. I was a new paranormal investigator at the time. And she says, I live here with my goddaughter, and the entity is like a black mass that appears in the hallway. And she goes, could you come down and check things out for us? And I said, you know, I happen to be in Stockton. I said, Lawford's very close to here. I said, yeah, I can swing by and check things out. She goes, I would appreciate that. So I get over there, and it's a very sweet old woman. She's like in her 60s, and she raises parrots. So she had all these parrots in the house, and her goddaughter was like in her 30s. So I get in there, and I get my laptop running, and I'm doing an interview with her. And during the interview, the goddaughter and the older woman, they show me bite marks on their chest and on their legs. And I started thinking, bite marks, yes, on their chest and on their legs. And they said that the entity was actually biting them, sexually attacking them, and biting them on the chest and on the legs. And I started thinking in my head that maybe, perhaps, they gave those bite marks to themselves. So, to each other, yeah. And so I'm over there still doing the interview, blah, blah, blah. And if I put my hand on a stack of Bibles, I'll swear on this, but as I looked at this sweet old woman, her face started to distort, and it started looking evil. And I know it's not my imagination. I was very, very straight and sober and everything else. I'm straight and sober in all my investigations. But her face was distorting right in front of me.
Oh, I have seen that personally myself. Mm-hmm. I was married once, and I can attest to the person I married and the person I divorced was a completely different person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you and me were married to the same woman.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. And that's even scarier.
That is even scarier.
Now. Anyway,
like I said, the older woman, I looked at her, and her face was distorting. And at some point in time during the interview, she goes, Paul, the demon places messages in my mind, vision. And I said, really? I said, what kind of visions? She goes, I have visions of killing men. Well, mind you, I'm the only man in that house. And so now I'm getting a little bit nervous. And one thing I've always learned, take another paranormal investigator with you. Don't go to someplace by yourself. And even if, you know, you think you're a guy and these are just women and that you can protect yourself, maybe not. Okay, so you always have to take that precaution.
Not to mention there's so many other legal ramifications that could come from that. There could be many claims made where you didn't have a witness to refute it. So, always have somebody with you at any time when you're doing an interview, or at least be monitored in some fashion.
Right, exactly. And which I always do. I always bring another investigator with me, or meet in a public place. Never go straight to her house.
I notice there's one coffee shop down by your place there that gets a lot of your business, and I'm just wondering, are you getting a deal from them or what?
No, I'm not. But it seems like I know every Starbucks because that's where I do my interviews at. So I know every Starbucks in Sacramento.
As soon as I read your story and it says the interview commenced at such and such a time at Starbucks or blah, 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 this street and that street, I know it's going to be a good read. I know that you take time to do it. And it's they're great stories. I love putting them on Blogspot. They're over on nighttalkradio.blogspot.ca. Anytime anybody wants to read some of Paul's stories, they're pretty amazing. So anyhow, the face was distorting.
Right, and she told me that she has visions of killing men. I asked her, how do you kill these men? She goes, I take a baseball bat and I bash their brains out. Okay, so then I'm a little bit nervous.
Uh-huh.
And about 15 minutes later, I look in the living room from where we're doing the interview, and her goddaughter is holding a baseball bat, and with a maniacal type smile on her face and laughter, she's going around in circles with that baseball bat. And I am totally terrified. And she looks at me kind of crazy, like holding the baseball bat. And I know one thing is they wanted the story published. And so I told them, I said, this story is so fantastic, it's probably going to make CNN news. I said, I got to get it to my publishers. And I said, I need to get it to my publishers now. I live right down the street, and I'll be right back. And they said, are you sure? You know, are you going to come back? I said, I promise I'll come back. I took off, and I left the house so quickly that I actually left my cell phone there and didn't go back to retrieve that cell phone, yeah.
You just shut her down and got another one.
For 2 weeks they harassed me. They go, where's the story? They were cursing me out. They were calling me, emailing me, and I had to actually get the police involved. And the police, when they did an interview with the older woman, they told me that the woman actually was mentally institutionalized.
You certainly know how to pick them, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And that is one story that sticks with me for the rest of my life.
Do you think they were doing it again to raise the fear factor in you as a trained investigator? Do you think they were trying to feed off a fear factor? Because if you were scared after what you've seen, done, talked about, written about, then your fear level must have been at a pretty high alarming rate.
Yes, it was at a high alarming rate. And I know in my mind that the older woman, her face did distort on me. So I really do think that they were possessed. And one thing is, they said about demons, they go after three targets. And a person who abuses alcohol, a person who abuses drugs, and someone who's mentally unstable. And the police confirmed that she was, at one time, mentally institutionalized. There was no indication that she was a serial killer, but they said that, you know, she was somebody that they talked to, and they told her that she needs to back off with me or she could get arrested and everything else. So, especially if she does any kind of threats to me and stuff like that. So that was a very scary moment. And I heard rumors that she's now deceased. So,
oh, really? Well, let's hope she crossed over willingly and nicely, because the last thing we would want is to have somebody like that, hanging around or floating around in the midst, because she would sound like she could be a very, very nasty spirit, you know?
Oh, yeah, very, very nasty spirit. Yeah. And when I was talking to you last, I was headed for Guatemala.
That's right, you were. You were. So tell me about Guatemala. Like, is it everything you thought it would be?
Guatemala is very, very haunted. And the reason why it's very, very haunted is because they had a dictator over there named Efrain Ríos Montt. And he killed something like 1,700 citizens. And the new president that they have now, released him from prison. And they're saying that the new president is starting genocide. And when I got over there, I was really, really busy. I'm a border crosser, so I went and crossed over into the border of Belize and El Salvador, and I had Lake Houston, Texas, Honduras, San Jose, Costa Rica, and Panama City, Panama. So,
wow.
I mean, I was so freaking exhausted when I was over there.
Now,
when I got over there,
when you're doing this whole trip, nobody's asking you to carry packages, are they?
Packages? Oh no.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say, that's a lot of traveling there, Paul.
No packages. But they have tons and tons of ghost stories. And one of the things that when I got to Guatemala City, it's a police state. Every security guard, every soldier, every police officer is carrying machine guns. They have eyes all over the city. There are certain things you can't even take photos of. And if you go outside of Guatemala City, you're dealing with tattooed, faced men carrying machetes. And that's the MS-13. And the MS-13 dominates outside of Guatemala City.
Are they not also infiltrating into Mexico, too, now? And down into
absolutely.
United States,
absolutely.
Apparently, they're around?
Right. Yeah, MS-13 is a very notorious gang over there. And they have, over there, if you commit a crime, let's say you rob a store, well, the police will chase you down and shoot you. You're not going to face a trial. You're basically dead meat. They're just going to shoot you. They're going to shoot you right in the back. You could throw down your weapon and start running. They're going to still shoot you anyway.
Okay, so given that, what the heck were you doing down there?
I don't know. One thing is I got a good deal for it with $600 round-trip ticket, but lots of layovers, and I should have researched it a little bit better. But I'm thinking that Guatemala City is going to be somewhat like Costa Rica because Costa Rica is a neighboring country. And Costa Rica, I had a wonderful time over there. They're very tourist-friendly. But when I got to Guatemala City, I said, oh, my God, I'm in a police state. I mean, they searched my bag when I was leaving four times over. And the only way they stopped searching my bag is I had to show them my book with my picture on it. And I go, I'm an author. I write ghost stories. I said, that's what I'm doing here in Guatemala City, because they kept on asking, why are you in Guatemala City? Why did you come by yourself? I go, I'm over here doing ghost stories. That's why. So they finally, when they saw my picture on my book, they finally stopped searching my bag.
Well, they were probably seeing if you were trying to sneak out any of their spirits, you know. While you were down there, did you come across anything of any significance? Was there anything that popped out while you were doing investigations?
I've interviewed all kinds of people, and I'll tell you what happened when I got to Taquel, but I interviewed all kinds of people. They have one ghost story after another. The place is, with all the murders that happened there and all the suicides and everything, I would say Guatemala City itself is really, really haunted. In fact, the hotel I was staying in is haunted, and I'll tell you about that. But they one ghost over there is called the Ghost of Forevermore, and that's the Lillian Garcia story. And it's about a guy, it's a best friend's wife, and somehow she was involved with some kind of love affair.
That's the one you sent to the blog, wasn't it?
Yeah. She was thrown over the hillside, and they see her all the time, so she appears. Yeah, and you have all those stories. And the Emerald Alien of Taquel, these guys, they were camping out near Taquel, and they saw these three orange globes, and an emerald-colored man, he levitated from the globe, and they lost about 4 hours of time. Their fire was out when they woke up, and they were hit with some kind of scanning ray, and they were paralyzed. So they have all kinds of stuff going on over there. And when I went to Taquel, I actually got an EVP. And the EVP I thought was in Spanish, but I learned when I got back to the Howard Johnson Hotel that it was in Mayan. And it actually, it was saying something, Il Mul Pilo, which is Mayan. I'm probably mispronouncing it, of course. And when I asked the hotel manager who knew some Mayan, he says, it's saying, see pyramid over there. See pyramid over there. So it's telling me to go see the pyramid over there.
And did you?
Did you get any
divine wisdom? Did anything, you know, was there a change of your electricity or anything like that when you went there?
No. You know, it seems like I'm not too receptive of that kind of stuff. Because a lot of people, they'll go, Paul, are you psychic? And I go, no. But every once in a while, I'll get something correct, and it's like, where did that information come from? So maybe I am starting to pick up on things. I don't know. But when I went to Stonehenge, I thought I was going to be enlightened. When I got to Stonehenge, you know, I'm still normal Paul Dale Roberts.
Yeah, a lot of people expect more than is given. Go ahead, you.
No, I just wanted to ask. I know we're getting near the end here. I just wanted to ask Paul what's next, if he's got any plans, anything he's going to be looking at in the near future.
Well, one of the things I want to do is down to Sedona, Arizona. And Sedona is known for its vortexes. People have experienced going into other realities, experience other type of beings. Sedona is sort of like the Skinwalker Ranch of Arizona. And I've investigated Skinwalker Ranch. I didn't get much over there except I saw a ball lightning. But with all the reports, you know, the UFO activity, the strange creatures that are seen out there, the vortexes that people experience, I would love to try to get down there next summer.
And Paul, Paul, I can't believe that we've hit the wall. That's 60 minutes already. I could talk to you for days, sir. You're always a good friend and always a wealth of information. And I do appreciate you taking the time to come to Night Talk Radio tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for getting my stories up. Thank you to your co-host. He's very wonderful. I'm glad you got a co-host now. So,
Paul,
it was great.
I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Oh, my pleasure, and I would love to talk to you, too. So,
okay,
yes,
Paul.
Thank
you,
you very much for having me. Happy Halloween.
You too, sir. And keep sending those stories. We love printing them on Blogspot for sure. Hey there.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com. We'll be right back.